possibility of shortening my presentation for the sake of time. Just very briefly, BNDI is about to celebrate its third anniversary. It's a so-called PDP, a product development partnership, whose primary objective is actually to deliver 6 to 8 new treatments by 2014 for a restricted portfolio of diseases: leishmaniosis, sleeping sickness, Chagas disease, and malaria. This, just to give you an idea of what the organization setup is, and also what the R&D portfolio has developed in 3 years, involving 20 projects. Now, what are neglected diseases? It would be a bit destructive and a bit inadequate to consider neglected diseases only in terms of the ones that I mentioned, the tropical diseases that I mentioned. This is perhaps, of course, the best representation of what the dimension of neglect is, a global neglect, and of how little the pharmaceutical blanket covers, you know, the needs, basically. Of course, those neglected diseases that I mentioned are totally out of the market, and some of the inefficiencies that have been mentioned so far affect those patients most. Now, R&D spending has increased dramatically over the last few years, with a higher and most prominent role of the public, of the private sector. But it is also true that in spite of the rise of R&D spending, overall global production of drugs has declined for a series of reasons that also Tim was alluding to. And of course, the case is particularly serious for neglected diseases, because out of the 1,556 drugs that have been marketed until 2004, only 1.3 were devoted to diseases that actually address the burden of diseases of 11% of the population. Now, new product development partnerships have been created in order to respond to the gaps, to the fatal imbalance, as it has been called, and there are many of them. The NDI is one of those. There's a lot of talking about PDPs. Everybody talks about PDPs. Actually, they have some of them have existed for quite some time, like TDR in WHO. It is a fact that they have substantially changed the landscape of health R&D over the last 5 years. There are now 63 projects in the R&D pipeline with a focus on poverty-related diseases. But it would be very misleading to think that PDPs can be the response to the problem, can be the solution to the problems in the face of the health needs of patients worldwide. And it would be very misleading to read this diagram here as an overall indicator of success, because it is true that 63 projects are in the pipeline, but you know, before these projects become drugs and vaccines or whatever for people, it takes a lot of intermediate steps that might not be very successful. As you know, there's a huge attrition rate when it comes to R&D for drugs. And in fact, there's the CIPIH report quite poignantly sort of underlines the fact that it might be the case even more for PDPs, because they seek breakthrough products rather than incremental innovation in the first place. And because once the low-hanging sort of R&D fruits have been picked up, you definitely have a higher attrition rate coming along in the longer run. And of course, the R&D costs for the production of, for the R&D of drugs in the PDPs setup may be lower, but failure rates may be higher also due to inadequate funding. We've seen that only 16% is the government share of the government participation in PDPs. In fact, it's less than that, because Bill Gates recently, you know, produced a new pledge of over $100 million for research. So what is the thing is that it is the CIPIH report saying that governments cannot passively rely on what these partnerships could eventually deliver, There is a need for stronger commitment on their part for an articulated and sustainable effort to address the research gaps. This has not really been the case so far. That is why we came out with an advocacy campaign saying that maybe out of the neglected diseases, governments have got one, sleeping sickness. But it would be also a kind of a reductionist approach to think that it is just a question of financing the cost of R&D. We believe that, of course, we should look at a kind of a 3M approach, borrowing from the environmental discussion. The definition of a needs-driven agenda at the micro, meso and macro level. Therefore, there should be an ongoing identification of needs and R&D opportunities. There should be new incentives to genuine therapeutic innovation. And, of course, considering a very important fact that, as the CIPIH report mentioned, there is an increasing indivisibility of health priorities. It would be very misleading to think of the diseases of the south, of the poor, and the diseases of the north, of the rich, because diseases, non-communicable diseases, are increasingly affecting the tables of patients in the south. And then the 3D reality, that R&D is a process that ranges from discovery to development to delivery. Now, public leadership in favoring access to access to existing and new knowledge implies, from our perspective as an R&D organization, that access to molecules and compounds is key. And here you have to think of some approaches that some people have considered rather competitional, confrontational approaches, but they are, you know, the government responsibility implemented. For example, a government use of compulsory licenses in the upstream interface of R&D, and not only for procurement, a wide research exemption clauses applied in national legislation, the full implementation and use of existing government rights against the patent abuse that are specifically concerning drugs developed with public support. And there are also more collaborative models, I would say. And there's certainly a need to provide and to devise new incentives, creative incentives, to grant industry also an essential R&D role, to involve the private sector to produce essential health R&D. And therefore, government incentives to open source research that Tim was mentioning before, a fiscal reward of tax deductions for industries that open their compound libraries. Today, this is one of the major stumbling blocks. A non-working clause that, for example, you can place on the market for licenses of some promising compounds that have not been developed by drug companies with an appropriate remuneration to the originator. And then also, we might have to think about new policies beyond patents to incentivize innovation, such as liability rules and utility models, the latter being particularly effective in small and medium-sized industries, especially where local productions are not engaged in major inventions. Now, when we are also talking, when we're talking of R&D, we should also see how to move and to shift the creative community towards the consumers, and then how to move the products to the people. Innovation in itself.